Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 60s Reboot Podcast, a proud member of the Electronic Media Collective. Visit the collective at electronicmediacollective.com. The 60s Reboot Podcast is produced by Matt D. Hey, that's me. And you can find the show at 60sreboot.blogspot.com. You can also subscribe to our show at iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or just subscribe on the RSS feed. You can also follow me on Twitter at 60sreboot2, or you can email the show at 60sreboot@gmail.com. Now, with me today as a guest, I have with me the man from Nebraska, the Grawlixer great, Mr. Randall Silvey.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, I'm ecstatic to be here. It's been a long time. Like I said, we've talked about you on Grawlix quite a bit. You've written in and sent voicemails to our podcast for it's at least a year now, 2 years almost, I want to say. And this is the first time we've actually got to speak, so I'm pumped for this.
That makes two of us. I mean, like I said, there's many times I've been driving my car going, "What? No, it's wrong."
Oh, I bet specifically that reaction too. I would not be surprised.
All right. Well, for all of my listeners out there, all four of them, today's episode is actually going to be on a show you picked out, Bewitched. Mm-hmm. Bewitched is a fantasy sitcom originally broadcast for 8 seasons on ABC from September 17, 1964 to March 25, 1972, for a grand total of 254 episodes. The premise of the series is a beautiful witch named Samantha meets and marries a mortal named Darren Stevens. While Samantha complies with Darren's wishes to become a normal suburban housewife, her magical family disapproves of her mixed marriage and frequently interferes with the couple's lives. Episodes often begin with Darren becoming the victim of a spell, the effects of which wreak havoc with mortals such as his boss, clients, parents, and neighbors. By the epilogue, however, Darren and Samantha most often embrace, having overcome the devious elements that failed to separate them. Now, the witches and their male counterparts, warlocks, are very long-lived. While Samantha appears to be a young woman, many episodes suggest she is actually hundreds of years old. To keep their society secret, witches avoid showing their powers in front of mortals other than Darren. Nevertheless, the effects of the spell and Samantha's attempts to hide their supernatural origin from mortals drive the plot most episodes. Witches and warlocks usually use physical gestures along with their incantations to perform magic. Samantha often twitches her nose to create a spell. The special effects are accompanied by a music to highlight such an action. The main setting of most of the episodes is the Stevens house at 1164 Morning Glory Circle in a fictional upper-class suburban neighborhood, either in Connecticut or New York, as indicated by different episodes. The comedic sitcom enjoyed great popularity, finishing as number 2 rated show in America during the debut season. Staying in the top 10 for its first 3 seasons, its popularity didn't wane even when they had to recast the male lead, Darren Stevens. It is still in syndication today, as well as available for streaming through Amazon, Crackle, and the like, none of which are sponsors of the show. Okay, so let's take a quick look at the elephant in the room. Since we're discussing the history of the show, the two Dicks. Darren was originally played by Dick York for 5 seasons. After having a serious accident on the set, as well as a debilitating back pain from a movie shoot back in the 1950s, Dick York quit and was replaced by Dick Sargent.
I'm sure we can get into this more, and I'm not trying to derail, but do you have a preference?
Not a problem.
Which Dick do you prefer?
I like the old Dick York.
Yeah, me too.
He just looked a little goofier, you know.
Yeah, he fit the part more, and I think, I don't know, he's the one I think of when I think of Bewitched.
Yeah, you know, and I watched Bewitched a lot with my grandmother, mm-hmm. and so she was a big Dick York fan.
Well put. Nice sidestep. Very good. Okay, I didn't mean to sidetrack. I was just very curious about that.
Not at all. This is the stuff that keep them coming. Dick York. While filming the fifth season episode, Daddy Does His Thing, York fell ill. He was too sick to go on. Okay, now this is a direct quote from Dick York. I had a temperature of 105, full of strong antibiotics for almost 10 days. I went to work that day, but I was sick. I lay in the dressing room after being in makeup, waiting to be called to the set. They knew I was feeling pretty rotten. They tried to give me time to rest. I kept having chills. This was in the middle of the summer, and I was wearing a sheepskin jacket, and I was chilling. I was shaking all over. Then, when sitting on a scaffolding with Maurice Evans, being lit for a special effects scene, they were sitting in Inky. That's a little tiny spotlight that was supposed to be just flickering over my eyes. That flickering made me feel weird. And I was sitting on this platform up in the air, and I turned to Gibby, who was just down below, and I said, Gibby. Now, I'm assuming Gibby's like, you know, the grip boy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Gibby, I think I have to get down. He started to help me down. That's the last thing I remember until I woke up on the floor. That was about all I remembered of the incident, and I managed to bite a very large hole in the side of my tongue before they could pry my teeth apart.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. So from York's hospital bed, he and director William Asher discussed York's future. Do you want to quit? Asher asked him. If it's all right with you, Billy, York replied. With that, York left the sitcom to devote himself to recovery. He never again returned to the set. From season 6 until the sitcom ended in 1972, Dick Sargent played Darren Stevens. Dick Sargent wasn't the last person to play Darren Stevens. As you might remember, Bewitched got a movie reboot, and it starred Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell. The movie was very much a look at the production of the movie versus a straight remake. Will Ferrell plays an actor who signs on to play the lead in a remake of the television show Bewitched, while Nicole Kidman plays a real-life witch who's breaking into Hollywood to play Samantha on the remake. So Nicole Kidman uses the real witch powers in and around the set. Yeah, it's a little confusing, as I've said out loud. I know it's bad. It's just bad. Honestly, I think Family Guy said it best by having Stewie hit Will Ferrell with a ladder after watching the movie.
Yep, I recall that episode. I've never seen the movie. I've never seen it. It's probably okay that I haven't.
Yeah, be glad you didn't. You know, and it's funny because that movie came out when Star Wars Revenge of the Sith came out. And there was a local bar in Chicago called the Vic, and they had Brew and View. And now my wife, but my girlfriend at the time, we ended up going to see see Star Wars. And of course we stuck around and watched Bewitched. And I think about halfway through, she fell asleep. Mm-hmm. So of course it doesn't help that we had like 6 beers in each.
sure.
Let's see. One more final note of the show, as it spawned a follow-up TV series about Darren and Samantha's kids called Tabitha. However, that came out in the 70s, so we'll save that for a completely different podcast. So before we dive into our cast, Randall, what history do you have on the show for you? I mean, why did you pick this show?
Okay. Well, it was kind of – when it came time to decide as I had told you in messages, I believe, so you do 60s Reboot Podcast, and initially when I heard about your podcast, I was super thrilled that you were doing a podcast, but I was a little worried you were going to be boxing yourself let me rephrase that. I was worried you would be boxing yourself in because, you know, I was like, well, I mean, how many 60s shows could there be? And I looked it up. When I was looking, like, what show do I want to do? There were so many, like, iconic television shows in the 60s. So I was wrong. You were right. 60s Reboot Podcast is a good idea. But two that stuck out to me were Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. And basically because I've, you know, being a 60s show, these were on rerun all through, like, my whole life, you know. It was always on TV as I was growing up. So I watched them quite a bit, and I liked the kind of, I guess, supernatural element to it. Bewitched was cool because she had, like, witchy powers, and I Dream of Jeannie was interesting because she had similar but different powers. But ultimately, in both shows, ultimately I picked these, though, because they kind of, when I, just after I graduated out of high school, my first apartment, I lived by myself, my first pad, my bachelor pad, and this is about 2001, and I had no internet. I mean, internet would have been pretty slow at that point anyway, but I had no internet, I had no cable, just basic over-the-air TV channels, and like I do now, I always kept late hours, and there was nothing on at night, except for occasionally reruns of I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched. So these shows always make me think of that time, and it was, I don't know, one of the few late night rerun throwaway programming that I actually enjoyed. So that's why I narrowed it down to these two. And ultimately, Bewitched, because I think it appeals to me a little bit more because of the... There's no horror aspect to this at all, but they're witches. They're witches. It's still got that, like, that influence, that horror supernatural influence, and I think that's always kind of appealed to me. So
nice. All right, now that we have a history of the show, how about we go ahead and dive right in and cast our first TV show. So let's go ahead and start with our titular character of Samantha Stevens. And since you're our guest tonight, how about you go ahead?
Okay, so we're going to bounce back and forth on these then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I didn't commit to... Okay, so you're going to notice a theme here. I have a concept. I have a concept. It'll become very clear right away. But I only run with it so far. So, I think my Samantha would be Keeman Shipka, who is the actress that plays Sabrina in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Nice. I've been meaning to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
If you enjoy, like, it's kind of light, kind of fluffy, a little goofy, but still kind of dark, and really good production. If you like horror stuff at all, you probably enjoy it. But it's also not super scary or anything, but it's got good themes.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyway, so she's... has experience playing a witch. She's very young, so my take on Samantha is it's gonna be younger than what the original shot for, but maybe we'll pull in a little bit younger audience with that. And how about you?
Nice. Me, I watched Gotham not too long ago, and I picked a character that I think would play the role really well from Gotham. And the age group is like right in her ballpark, and I would have to say the actress Erin Richards, she played Gotham's, she was the crazy ex-girlfriend to Jim Gordon. Yeah, I think she could definitely pull it off. Hey folks, Matt cutting in right here. My audio got screwed up, so after about here is where you're gonna notice some changes. I tried to fix it as best I can, but thanks to Randy, I was able to get a backup. So, again, sorry for the quality, but we should be good. Thanks.
And you know what? I don't think I mentioned who played the Samantha originally. That was done by...
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
With your know-how and my witchcraft... there is no end to the heights you could reach.
All right, so next up is Darren Stevens, played by two different Dicks, Dick Sargent and Dick York.
Hi, Andorra, when did you swoop in?
As I said earlier, Dick York was kind of funny looking and kind of had a good way of delivering lines. So my pick, I'm going with someone that's a more diverse cast. I really didn't want to whitewash this thing, if you know what I mean. So I'm going with Michael Pena.
Okay.
You know. So for the audience out there, it's the guy from Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as in Narcos. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a great Darren.
Oh, I think you're right. That's actually a really good pick. Like, him in that kind of role, kind of goofy. I could see him playing the kind of flabbergasted. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah,
thanks. I mean, I could really see him, like, being, you know, like the whole what's up kind of thing. I could see him being like a little bit of a straight man, but yet still kind of goofy and humorous, you know? Yeah. Sorry, a little ramble.
No, yeah, it's all good. Okay, so, yeah, that's actually good. You mentioned the whitewash. I totally did, and I was trying not to, but I'm like, I don't know who else, like, because, okay, so here's my Darren pick. I'm going to continue a theme I set forth with my Samantha pick. For Darren, it's Ross Lynch, who plays Harvey in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So that would essentially either make this like some type of a soft Bewitched reboot extension to Sabrina, or this is just my own personal like shipping Harvey and Sabrina for this podcast. Maybe a little bit more of that, but. Well, it's so funny because as we get into the casting, the theme, I'll drop the theme a little bit, but once that popped in my head, I was like, it's perfect because the woman that plays Sabrina, she was blonde in that, and well, she's white now, but she's blonde in that. She's much younger than the Samantha Stevens character originally was, but she has like she's not goofy, but I could see her being kind of goofy, but she has a similar like upbeatness to her character in Sabrina. And then, so once I was like thinking about that, the guy that plays Harvey in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, who's like her boyfriend in the first season, he would actually be he's young, but we're going with a younger couple. He would be a really good Darren because he's got kind of a big nose. So he's just got kind of a goofy face. He looks the part. He's kind of unassuming. Like, I think at least the way he plays Harvey would be perfect. So you could really, they're almost the same characters as you like in Sabrina versus put them in the Bewitched. They're pretty much exactly the same characters. So it would be super easy transition to make. Just rebrand the credits. Okay. Sorry.
So following Darren is Darren's antagonist, the mother of Samantha, Endora, the character played by Agnes Moorhead.
One of these days, Samantha, you're going to find yourself married to a 170-pound warthog.
So who'd you pick for Endora?
I'm going to, and maybe afterwards, I can run through a couple of my second place picks. But a couple of these I had like second place picks. This one I actually had three picks, but I'm going to go with my first one. And this is where I'm still sticking with the Sabrina theme, but deviating from it a little bit. I'm going to say Michelle Gomez, who played Missy in Doctor Who.
Okay.
And that actually popped in my head kind of like after I went through most of the other lists, just because she's a lot of fun in both those shows. Like Missy and her character in Sabrina, she plays it very much the same way. She just chews the scenery, and she's got like fun, kind of older, sexy with maybe that's insulting, older, sexy, but you know, yeah, she's like older, sexy is like a kind of a demure sexy.
Gotcha, yeah.
But also very devious and sinister. And so I think she would actually kind of be perfect. I don't care who you cast in the other stuff. You do a new Bewitched, you throw Michelle Gomez in that role.
I think you won me over on that one. you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. I actually had two choices as well. And I'll tell you my other choice later. But I actually went with Kathy Bates.
Oh my God. Dude, I thought about it. She didn't I was running through her for a little bit. So yeah, okay. I like it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, because she's done balls crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think she could definitely pull off, you know, crazy witch lady that nobody wants to have pop up in the middle of their, you know, honeymoon.
Yep. That's a really good one. I was seriously contemplating her myself.
Yeah. Oh, my second choice. Now, and I my second choice was actually based on the makeup for Endora. And this woman's definitely typecast ever since the late 90s, early 2000s when the show was running. But I was going with Mimi Bobek from Drew Carey Show.
Okay.
She was my second runner up. So, what were your other two?
Okay, so my other two, initially it was going to be Olivia Colman, who she played what was her character's name? She was in Broadchurch with David Tennant.
Yeah.
She recently won an Oscar, so I don't. She might be a little too pricey for a Bewitched reboot show right now. But she's great, and she doesn't really have. I'm sure she's a great actress, though. Like, she just won an Oscar, like I said, so she could probably play a mean streak. But for the most part, like, I've never seen her play a character with a mean streak like that. So it might be a weird choice, but I think she could do it. And then my third place runner up was Miranda Otto, who plays Aunt Zelda in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And she, that was just continuing my Sabrina theme, but she's got like a, she's got the right attitude. And if you've, at least the way she plays her character in Chilling Adventures, I think she'd be a good fit just because of like the way she plays that character.
All right. So after Endora, we have Darren's boss from the advertising agency, the character Larry Tate, played by David White.
Well, Darren makes a pretty powerful drink. Lots of times I find that I can't remember what went on at his house.
Larry Tate. Yes. So my idea for Larry Tate was you probably need a guy that's kind of straight-laced, maybe a little, go with the whole goofy-looking thing is a big thing for me for this Bewitched thing. And I actually went with Jeff Garland. You might recognize him from the TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm. He was Larry David's larger friend.
Okay.
He was also in that TV show The Goldbergs just recently. But yeah, he's just kind of funny, and I mean, I could see him playing like a straight man to Samantha and Darren. You know, always getting into trouble. So yeah, that's my Larry Tate.
For mine, because I always liked that. I think I like the actor, but I always liked that character. You're right. He's kind of goofy, but he seemed very likable. Darren's boss. And so my take on him will be a little bit different. He'll be less kind of aloof, less goofy, but still kind of likable. Richard Jenkins. Do you know him? He's in lots of stuff. Have you ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
It sounds familiar. Was that the one with the kid from Boy Meets World? Oh, no, that's Cabin in the Woods. It's the one with Chris Hemsworth,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. He's one of the guys that work down below. He's the one of the business suit guys, the taller one, if that makes sense. He's been in so many things, but he's one of those actors where I can't. It's hard to say. You know, you'd know him from this role because he's kind of a what do they call those guys? A character actor.
Oh, okay. He has that face that you see everywhere, but you can't take away his in. I think I know. Is he kind of balding?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He was in The Shape of Water, apparently. He played a senator in Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, I just seen The Shape of Water. I know what you're talking about. He was the guy coloring the Jell-O picture.
Yes.
Yeah, have you seen that movie? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see him as Larry Tate.
So I think he'd play it a little bit more straight. He'd be a more obvious straight man, but he's like the perfect straight man, you know? And so he'd be a little less aloof, but I think he's got that likable quality.
Right.
Yeah. That's my pick.
Okay, next up is Tabitha Stevens. Now, I'm only going to mention Tabitha only because for the first two seasons she was played by a child actor. And they got some baby from some, like, Romanian orphanage.
Is that where child actors come from?
No. Yeah, I think that's where they got Gary Coleman.
So Tabitha, yeah, their daughter, for mine, I don't know child actors. So that's kind of like, it seems like kid actors, you know, they're kid actors, so they're not established. They just kind of pop up and then either go away because they're a kid actor, they were terrible, or they become one of those weird celebrities that's kind of all messed up but uber famous. Yeah. So, however, since my Sabrina and Darren are so young, the actor from my Sabrina, my Samantha, see, this is what I'm doing. Samantha, no, she's Sabrina now. So my Samantha, played by Sabrina, that's her real name now. She's like 19 in real life. And so they're a young couple. So in my reboot, when you start, they don't have a child yet. But throughout the series, you know, think about pregnant witch hijinks that you could get up to. So a baby will come along at some point. And then it's a baby, so who cares? So long as it's a baby and it's cute, it doesn't matter.
Well, it was like I picked the Tabitha, and I'm like, yeah, it's a child actor. You know, I don't want to get on somebody's list. I don't want somebody's like going, hey, this person was looking up child actors.
Yeah.
It seems kind of weird. Suddenly you're on a list. You got to go door to door to see your neighbors.
Just, all I did was look up a child actor. Yeah. You're on the list instantly. I was going to say, if I'd went the opposite direction with the slightly older, and I do have like secondary picks for both slightly older, Samantha and Darren, I think a teen child could be an interesting dynamic in the show to where, you know, Samantha's still the witch, and obviously I'm guessing her child would become a witch too, but that'd be fun. But then I guess you're talking about literally Sabrina, the teenage witch. So, but going the opposite direction, a potential reboot, I think that would be an interesting dynamic, depending on the kind of tone you're going for.
Nice. Yeah. So, all right. So we could totally. I'm gonna throw this in your other podcast, the GCU. So, your Bewitched would be the precursor to Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because then Samantha would be Sabrina's mom, and Aunt Zelda and them could be Samantha's sisters.
It would kind of work because it mentioned, like, your synopsis of the series mentioned something of, well, and this is where my issue of whitewashing my cast is a problem, because, and, you know, the original series problem, because it's an issue that they are in a mixed relationship between a witch and a mortal, which is a very Sabrina theme, big time. But, I mean, it's a similar, I think in actual, like the, at least the way it's set up in, the new Sabrina series is, it's pretty much the same thing where, except it's switched. I think her mother was a human and her father was a warlock or something. So it's the whole, like, Romeo and Juliet from two worlds, I guess, if you want to call it mixed, although everybody's, you know, they're all white in that situation, but.
Yeah, it was a different 1960s. It was a different, they could get away with stuff like that. It was a different demographic.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So.
Yes.
To get back on a point, my Tabitha, I picked out a random child actor from the Stranger Things.
Oh, good. Okay.
Season one, there was a little girl, a swing set, as 11 comes up and to look at her and her mom, the girl freaks out. The girl's name was Harper Kavanaugh, and that's who I picked. Hopefully I didn't get on any lists.
You know, occasionally I'll be watching something, and normally kid actors are pretty bad because they're kids, And so I don't ever think of anything. But once in a while, you'll see something where you're like, wow, that kid is like a super young child, but like actually sold that scene. But, you know, of course, I never keep track of who those kids are. In 10 years, they yeah. might be a great actor, you know, so.
Now, as Darren had an antagonist, so did Samantha. And it was the nosy neighbor, Gladys Kravitz, played by Alice Pierce.
I came over for a scoop of sugar. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
All right, Randall, I'm going to throw this back to you. So who did you pick for Gladys Kravitz?
Okay, so I think I had to watch some clips of the show to kind of get a really refresh myself on some of these characters.
Hey,
and
me
I
too.
Think I think the perfect pick for modern day Gladys popped up in my mind instantly, and it's I'm probably not pronouncing the last name right, but Christian Shaw, and she's mostly does a lot of voice acting stuff. She was the voice of Louise in Bob's Burgers, Sarah Lynn in BoJack, and Trixie in Toy Story 3. But she played Carol in The Last Man on Earth, that Fox series, and okay. she's the first woman that he comes across. She's got a very kind of goofy demeanor, kind of a goofy face. She just fits perfectly. Yeah. She's I don't know, she's just perfectly that lady next door look. Not girl next door, that's a totally different thing.
I love IMDb. Mm-hmm. Again, not a sponsor of the show. I recognize her as did you ever see Flight of the Conchords?
I've seen some stuff, but I don't know if I have watched a whole lot.
Yeah, she was in that. She played one of the groupies for the band.
Okay.
But yeah, I see that she was also in Portlandia.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, and I think she's done some Daily Show stuff, like definitely a lot of comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see her. Being Gladys, I went a little older, but again, you know, you're going with the CW.
Yeah, a lot of my cast is like, well, I think part of it was I was really trying to pick from now her. She just popped in my head, but for the most part, outside of Sabrina, I it was all pretty much what recent shows have I watched? Because I'm not great about who like knowing current popular TV actors and stuff, so I just kind of pulled from people. From shows that I know are going on right now, and a lot of them are younger people, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, hey, I'm a 40-year-old guy who's casting TV shows from the 1960s. And your lucky happens aren't actors from the 1990s.
Oh, I know.
I picked David Schwimmer.
Yeah, well, huh. God, that was, yep. We not a lot of prep work on that segment. Not a lot of prep work.
Yeah.
All right. So my Gladys was actually Lauren Holly, and she was in what was the show?
Mm-hmm.
Mad Men, and NCIS, and Dumb and Dumber, and there was a few other shows that she was in. I can't think of off the top of my head.
Lauren Howley?
Yeah, Lauren Howley. H-O-L-L-Y.
Oh.
Why did I pick her? Oh, because I could see her being a nosy neighbor.
Oh, for sure.
She didn't Dumb and Dumber. You know, she's... I could see her playing like a... Definitely a nosy neighbor. And I think more has to do with the husband I picked for her. But yeah.
No, I could see it. I could see it. That's an interesting pick. Yeah.
Yeah, because I could see her like looking over the fence, going, "Honey, the grill just floated by," or you know, something to that effect, or you know, I could see her, you know, playing opposite Aaron Richards as someone just trying to get her out of the neighborhood, or you know. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think you're right, though. She does have this, especially if you take it from that angle of somebody. I mean, she does seem like the. I don't know if you edit your pod, like censor your podcast, but she seems like the bitchy neighbor who would like see something and then go to other neighbors and be like, "We need to get them out of the neighborhood." She does see look. She looks appropriate for that role.
Yes.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is actually the longest episode I've ever had. So, as a quick shout out to my good host, Randall, I've decided to include this little bit right in the middle of the episode. Don't worry, we'll pick things back up in a few minutes.
If you really want to know about pod editing and podcasting, there's a great place to go to. It's called PodEdit.com.
PodEdit.com. I've heard of that place. Yeah. I've heard that the guy that runs PodEdit.com will edit your podcast. He'll produce your podcast. He'll help you with launching and whatever else you need with your whatever podcasting needs you have. PodEdit.com will help you for money. Just to clarify, for money. Thanks for that plug. You know, I am a freelance podcast producer. That is my full-time gig. And if you need my services, go to podedit.com.
And as someone who has used his services,
oh man, I feel bad. Like, I really wish I would have been more attentive to helping you launch these, but you did a great job. But the money thing aside, I was like, oh, Matt D's going to do a podcast. Yeah, I got to help. And I was kind of busy and I did not get as much information to you as I wish I had. So
that's fine. What you gave me really helped me. Yeah. So I really appreciate it.
Now, Gladys, we can't forget about her. Now, she's got a disbelieving husband by the name of Abner Kravitz, played by George Tobias.
What's the matter with you? All of a sudden I'm married to a peeping Tom. Spying on people, sticking your nose in everybody's business. Go back to bed.
For my pick, I went back to the 1990s.
Okay.
And I picked Matthew Perry.
You're doing it. You're doing the Friends grab.
Yeah, I am.
What? That's a Grolix move. Don't Grolix it up. This podcast got more class than that. No, I'm kidding. Well, see, the thing is, though, like, people like that from 90s TV shows, especially, like, Friends, they'll occasionally pop up in something. Maybe this is his big breakout hit to, like, his big comeback hit.
Yeah, this is John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Who was it? Matthew Perry?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I could see him, you know, if Lauren Holly is crazy, you know, trying to be bitchy and everything. I could see Matthew Perry being the disbelieving husband. Like, I don't know, honey. She's a neighbor. She's nice.
Oh, yeah. He'd be good at that.
Blonde, just, you know. She's okay.
Mildly annoyed. Just can't be bothered. Just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I like that.
So, what'd you pick for Abner?
Okay, so this is an unconventional pick for the character. And honestly, I was just trying to put him in somewhere. Again, after the end, I do want to just briefly mention my number two picks for Samantha and Darren, because that's where he would have went. But Brandon Routh, he's about the right age with my Gladys casting. Because I decided the original characters had that, like, you know, the old comedy bickering married couple, like she's always in the neighbor's business and he's just like, oh, he almost a one of these days type of guy, right? So I was gonna go the opposite direction to where, like, he's not believing her, but I mean, Brandon Routh, he was Superman in Superman Returns or whatever, but he's in the CW shows. He's just seems like a super likable guy, and so I kind of like him and I wanted to put him somewhere, and I was like, well, instead of, like, the grumpy, I mean, he still won't believe his wife, you know, but instead of the grumpy old married couple, you know, it's Brandon Routh. He's like a super nice guy. He just doesn't believe the crazy stuff his wife is telling him. So that's the angle I took with it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I can see him just kind of like, All right, so this is an audio podcast, but might just be more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, your expression nailed it. Just like,
what are you talking about?
What? Just like kind of bewildered more than like angry or dismissive. Just bewildered.
All right. While Abner and Gladys were Samantha's antagonists, it seemed like each week one of Samantha's relatives would stop by and cause a little bit of mayhem. So we picked out a few characters, recurring characters, to describe kind of what happened. So first up is Aunt Clara, the bumbling aunt played by Marion Lorne.
Oh, it's so nice to see you again.
Oh, it is nice to see you too, dear.
Oh, well, we have a lovely weekend together.
Weekend?
Doorknobs are all very well, but they're not family.
Clara,
I count them when I'm lonely. But somehow, you know, today they didn't seem to do the trick. And then I remembered the lovely invitation you gave me to come here whenever I want.
So for my Aunt Clara, I actually went with somebody that I've seen play a bubbling, kind of absent-minded person, and that would be Annie Potts from Ghostbuster fame as the secretary for the Ghostbusters.
Okay, okay.
And she was recently in Young Sheldon. She played Meemaw.
So she's still doing stuff. So she's a recent – oh, nice.
She is, and she's got the age to play someone – like the Aunt Clara, who was the elderly, bumbling, favorite aunt of Samantha's. So.
I like it.
How about you, sir?
Okay, so for mine, I'm going to return to my Sabrina tie-in, and I'm going to go with Lucy Davis, who plays Aunt Hilda in Sabrina, and she's not... She's more like her personality's bumbling, but she's not physically bumbling. I noticed Aunt Clara is kind of physically bumbling, but she's kind of perfect, and I think she could play it well. And she's so good in Sabrina at just kind of like an awkward, somewhat goofy, like lady. I think she'd be perfect for Aunt Clara.
All right, next up is Uncle Arthur. Uncle Arthur was a practical joker, and he was the younger brother of Endora. He was played by the great actor Paul Lindy, who he himself was a bit of a practical joker. And he actually was the a good friend to the producer of Bewitched.
You decorate the way you do everything else, in super, stupendous, glorious, bad taste.
So for my Uncle Arthur, I chose a bit of a comedian too, and he was a bit of a practical joker. You may recognize this man from The Drew Carey Show. The guy I picked was Diedrich Bader.
Okay, interesting.
And I thought that Diedrich could probably pull off a bit of a practical joker since he's really good at comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He could definitely pull off the crazy uncle. So, so what'd you pick?
So this one was actually one of the toughest for me to cast, and only in that. So it'd been so long since I watched the show, I was like, Uncle Arthur, and I looked up a bunch of clips, and I was like, oh, he's got like a very specific thing. So I actually like had a hard time finding somebody because I was like, no, they've got to have this very specific thing, and for one. This is, okay, so I apologize for whitewashing the cast, but, which is not anything a white person should be saying, like, nothing good could come after that.
My list, the only one person that I didn't whitewash was Mike Pina.
Better than me. But, listen, it wasn't intentional. But, however... I can add a little diversity in one way or another. So Uncle Arthur, as played by Paul Lindy, seemed, I mean, I know it was like his, he was kind of had that like Broadway comic vibe, right? Like just very big and like
right.
Loud and kind of flamboyant, but I don't mean that in a bad way. And I know his character wasn't gay and the actor may not have himself been gay, but he had that what seemed to me like a very big presence in that certain way. So I was trying to find somebody that would match that. And the best I could find, and once it popped into my head, I was like, oh, that's kind of perfect, was John Barrowman. Or John Barrowman. Because I ran through a couple actors, and I'm like, but I can't picture them, like, busting into the scene and start singing something, which is something I could picture Uncle Arthur doing. John Barrowman, though, he'll bust on singing whether you want him or not. And so,
yeah,
just a lot of presence. And but still likable. That's kind of what they needed.
I could totally see Captain Jack as Paul Lindy's Uncle Arthur.
John Barrowman's great. Like any excuse to see more of him is fine.
Yes, yes. Like when he left Arrow to do on Legend of Tomorrow, it's like one of the reasons why I started watching the show. So, yeah. Okay, folks, if you've listened to episode 3, my Hogan's Heroes, I picked John Barrowman as my Bob Crane because the same thing. I mean, he is larger than life.
Exactly.
He could definitely play it. So, yeah, he kicks my Diedrich Bader out.
All right, so for our last recurring character is Samantha's father, Maurice, played by the British actor Maurice Evans.
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Yes, he kept the name of the character.
That's how great he is.
He was
he's just him.
They wrote the part for him.
Who do you play? I play me.
I'm Maurice Evans, playing Maurice. So for my Maurice Evans, I picked out a pretty funny guy. People might recognize him from the TV show Goldbergs. The guy I picked was George Segal.
Okay.
For those who don't know, he was also in Just Shoot Me, and he played. He played the boss, and I could definitely see him playing Maurice in a similar capacity, where he's both kind of bumbling but yet kind of knows what he's doing. He's pretty funny, you know. I think he could definitely pull off the Maurice character for Samantha's dad. So that's my Maurice.
Okay. For my Maurice, this was another one that was kind of difficult for me to nail down, but ultimately I went with David Tennant, because we got John Barrowman, we got to continue some Doctor Who love, right? We got Missy in there earlier, so and yes, I do commonly just refer to actors as their character names from various shows.
I'm right there with
but,
you.
David Tennant, because. First off, he doesn't do comedy, like straight comedy, a lot. I mean, Doctor Who, definitely there's a lot of comedy flair in there, but he doesn't do straight comedy a lot. So when he does do comedy, though, he's fun. And part of like what I latched onto for Maurice's character was an almost maybe not pretentious, but kind of almost pretentious. Like he struck me as like, you could have been a great actor, you know, that type of guy. And I was like, I'd like to see David Tennant play a character like that. Plus, if I'd went with my second pick for Samantha's mother would have been Olivia Colman, and then I could have finally got my Broadchurch, Miller and Hardy shipping on. So there you go.
Shipping.
Yeah, Randall this episode. Randall ships uses Baywitch. So that's a combination. See, and then we're going to combine this with Baywatch. Randall uses Bewitch to just ship the actors he wants from other shows. Okay, I'm sorry.
Really throw things up and just recast Billy Piper to be Samantha.
I could get on that. I could see that. That'd be all right.
All right, so that's our two modern day cast picks. Now, I went back and I watched some of the couple of the episodes, and I'm sure you, like you said, you've looked at some clips, and you know, the 60s was definitely a different time. I mean, some people would say it was the golden age of television. Some people say that now is the golden age of television, but I'm not going to get into that whole thing. But there was definitely a different way that televisions were done back then. You know, different morals, different dynamics in the series. So I really didn't think of any episodes to go through and other than recast, like rewrite. But there was definitely a lot of and Bewitched. Like if you want to do it today, you really couldn't do a lot of the relationship dynamics. It would, I think we'd have to like totally redo the dynamic between Darren and Samantha. I mean, you know, in the series, Samantha wanted to stop being a witch and become a suburban housewife. And, you know, she was concerned about keeping the house clean and getting dinner ready each night and, you know, trying to do that without actually using her magical powers, which got conflict. A lot of the story plot was just from what she could or couldn't do. Modern take, you know, there was the whole women's lib. Everything has moved on. You know, we definitely have fewer of the 1960s viewpoint of a housewife. You know, there's now, you know, both people are, you know, have jobs, raising kids, you know, all that stuff. So I think that there's a lot there with maybe Samantha having, you know, a full-time job on top of, you know, helping to raise Tabitha, and then having the hijinks of trying to find a babysitter during the day or take the kid daycare. You know, there's a lot there that we could probably mesh and meld and still try to have her not use her magical powers. So that's kind of what I had for an idea for an episode, but I didn't really flesh anything out.
Her not using her powers because he doesn't want her to, and her just wanting to be a good housewife and all that. We could kind of scrap that. That would get kind of old anyway for setting up conflict. However, I mean, even just normal modern couple living life, even the idea of like, she wants to use her powers or wants to use her hiding her witch life from the real world, the quote unquote real world, the normal world. I mean, even that's just enough to like build different conflict out of, I think.
Character
stuff. Just throw some character stuff in there. It's easy. Maybe. Just do it. But
we could have an entire episode devoted towards character development, you know, and then, and the antagonist neighbor comes by with their dog who, you know, peed on the neighbor's lawn. And
I think it's amazing what sitcoms in general, but especially older sitcoms, how much they can milk a single concept, because essentially the show is that's the conflict for the most part, almost every episode. I mean, there's little differences, but for the most part, they just milk that central idea for 250 something episodes. So a modern series, I would think, would, like when I was approaching it, I was thinking maybe slightly darker, but not necessarily darker, but more slightly more serious, still comedic, a little bit more in line with some of the shows that do well now, where you've got an element of, you know, it's more serialized, less, it'll still be kind of sitcoms like where it's a standalone episode. For the most part, things reset after each episode, but, you know, serialized storytelling to where it's not like everything resets back to normal at the end of the episode so that the next episode starts and you don't have to worry about seeing anything else. You know, move away from that a little bit, but really never go too far to where, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be like crazy season long arcs or anything, but yeah.
Right. Right. Some one and done's creature of the week.
Yeah. Like maybe that. A little bit more in line with, kind of the Buffy model, to where even though they did do like season long arcs, but especially the earlier couple seasons of Buffy, there were ongoing arcs and different plot lines, but for the most part, you could kind of pick up, because they would occasionally, they would do the one and done monster of the week and just kind of weave it in with whatever storyline happens to be going on. You could just kind of jump in anywhere. So I'd say handle it that way, and I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, cool. All right. Well, that's about it that I have for Bewitched. We'll do a quick rundown of our list. If you want to go ahead and go first, just recap.
Okay, yeah.
As to who you have, and then if there's any extras you wanted to throw in there.
Okay. Rundown of my list. For my very Sabrina Central, Sabrina-ish reboot, whatever you want to call it, Sabrina sequel, Bewitched reboot, cinematic universe. Samantha will be played by Kimen Shipka. I'm sorry, I know I'm mispronouncing her name, but she plays Sabrina in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Darren Stevens would be played by Ross Lynch, who plays Harvey, also in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. However, my second place for both of them, I think, is actually, if I wanted to take the show a different way, they're both really good. Emily Richards? She plays Felicity from Arrow. I thought she'd be, you know,
okay.
She's blonde. Well, is she naturally blonde? I think she is. But blonde,
I think so, yeah.
Upbeat character. I think she'd be interesting for Samantha Stevens. And then I could bounce my Brandon Routh pick up to Darren Stevens, because I think he would actually be the perfect Darren Stevens. I just couldn't make him work in the Sabrina context.
And you'd again be shipping the whole
right. Arrow. Then we get it exactly. What was this? Oh, I can't remember his character. The Adam and Felicity, whatever. Is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and I've read so many Adam comics. Like, suddenly his name just. There's people on my podcast or listening to my podcast. All four of them that are screaming right now. His name slipped my mind.
I've fallen so far off of the
Palmer.
Ray Palmer. Yes. Ray Palmer and Felicity Palmer. Shipping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. He's way more easygoing than Ollie is. So. And then. Okay. Samantha's mother. Michelle Gomez, my number one pick. I think she'd be great. Darren's boss, Larry Tate. Richard Jenkins, because he just needs to be in more stuff. He just seems like such a likable guy. And he's good as a still comedic, a comedic straight man. Samantha and Darren's daughter, Tabitha. Nobody yet. And then random baby from whatever orphanage you mentioned earlier. Yes. Babies don't need to speak anyway, so it doesn't matter what language they have. They have none. Okay, that was weird. Gladys Kravitz would be played by Christian Shaw. And so then, in which case, Brandon Routh becomes her husband as Abner. And Aunt Clara would be Lucy Davis. Uncle Arthur would be John Barrowman. God, that sounds fun. Right? And Maurice, Samantha's father, would be David Tennant. Because why not? I want more David Tennant in everything.
We do need more David Tennant. Speaking of David, have you seen ads for Good Omens yet?
No, I don't think so. Huh?
Yeah, because it's got David Tennant in it. He plays... Crowley, the demon. Have you read the book Good Omens?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh, it's all right. So, how about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes, I am familiar.
Okay, so Good Omens is basically Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett's version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but instead of it being science based, it's, you know, based on heaven and hell, Lucifer and God, okay. And Crowley, played by David Tennant, is a demon, and then Michael Sheen plays an angel, and for life, I can't think of the angel's name in the series, but yeah, I saw a couple ads for it. You know, they finally made the TV series. I know back in like 2005, 2006, they were, Terry Gilliam was optioning it to be a movie. So, but it looks really cool. And I think it's an Amazon Prime.
I did see Neil Gaiman tweet something about it. That's, I think, where I'd heard something about it, but I hadn't seen anything of it. And of course he's going to say this, but somebody asked him, you know, what he thought of it, the show or whatever. And Neil Gaiman says he said it was the best thing, best like live action thing he's seen them make out of one of his works. So that's kind of high praise. That's pretty high praise. Of course, I'm sure he's got stake in it doing well, so he would say flattering things, but.
Not to mention the whole episode he wrote for Doctor Who.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, so back on the point here. So my list of characters, Samantha Stevens, I have Aaron Richards. Darren Stevens, I have Michael Pena. Is it Pena or Pigné? I don't know.
Michael Pigné?
Pigné.
Yeah. I'm terrible with names. I'm terrible with all names.
And Dora, I have Kathy Bates, Larry Tate, I have Jim Garland, Tabitha, I have insert some child actor here from Gladys Kravitz, I have Lauren Holly, Abner Kravitz, I have Matthew Perry, Aunt Clara, I have Annie Potts, Uncle Arthur is Jim Bader, or Dietrich Bader, which totally gets wiped out by John Barrowman.
That's a pretty good pick, right?
Maurice, I have Jerry Siegel. That is it for the cast for the 1960s Bewitched. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode, and I want to thank you again, Randall, for stopping by and picking an episode and doing this with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So for all of my four listeners out there, where can they find Randall Sylvie?
So you can find me, you can go to randallsylvie.com, and that's got a link to pretty much everywhere else I'm at online. It's RANDALSILVEY. And you can check out, you know, just my other stuff I've been doing. But if you want to hear more of me talking, you can hear me on the Grolix Podcast and Grolix Cinematic Universe. Those are two podcasts, but you can get them both on GrolixPodcast.com. It's GRAWLIXPodcast.com. Can you tell I've said this a couple times? and then also, in case my plug got cut earlier, podedit.com. I'm a podcast producer, freelance. If you have podcast needs, I can help you. Wow. I feel like an infomercial. That's I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, that's why you're the professional. And if you enjoyed the show, you can follow me at 60sreboot.blogspot.com. You can follow me at Twitter at 60sreboot2. That's 60sreboot, the number 2. And if you can, rate and review us on a show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Well, you can't review it on Google Play, which drives me nuts. This has been the 1960s Reboot Podcast. So, good night.
Cool. Was Samantha the one that did the nose twinkle? Nose, like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A listener... this has been cut already, but listener, just imagine we did that and then it disappeared. Hard cut disappear too. There's no effect, just a sound. Hard cut. We're gone.